Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart-loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go! Tuesday, March 17, 2026, St. Patrick's Day! Hope you're going to have a grand time. In some places, St. Patrick's Day is more celebrated than others. And I'll just say this as somebody who has spent a few St. Patty's Days in Wisconsin. You give Wisconsinites another reason to drink and drink aggressively early on in the day and all day and into the night, then you know what many of them will say is, don't mind if I do. But it's a festive day for sure. And other places like the DMV, these uptight people here live here. Like, if I were to try to get a group of people in Northern Virginia, in Loudoun County, Fairfax County, go, hey, let's go find a bar that's open at 8 a.m. on St. Patty's Day and start drinking, they would look at me like I've got three heads. And I might get maybe four people to join me, if that. Maybe we can make that a tradition next year. Who knows? Don't have time for it this year, so let's get into the podcast. We've got Butchie and Armin coming up here in just a second to talk brackets. I've got much more than just brackets as well, so let's go ahead and start digging in. On the tournament front, though, as you get ready to make your picks, just remember this. If the experts were as good as everyone thinks, if just watching a ton of college basketball made you really good at picking out pools, then the guys like Jay Billis would win every year. Or, guys like John Fanta would win every year. Now, last year, Billis did pick all four number one seeds, and he was right about that. And he did pick the final right. He did pick the winner right. And he made sure to point it out in his column saying, you're welcome. You can thank me later or not at all. So I give Billis credit on that. And that's about it, because, you know, I've got my issues with Jay Billis, Mr. Pay the players. We got to pay the players. Look at the landscape we now have, thanks to paying the players. But I digress. So when you're picking your pool, just remember, This is still a very random event. And as such, get this, Sickos College Basketball on Twitter. The Sickos Committee. I don't know if you've ever followed some of these accounts. It's a pretty funny set of accounts. Sickos College Basketball Committee tweeted the following. So, a friend of mine is a family bracket tournament every year. Everyone in the family participates, including the family cat. The cat has rules, though. Animals over humans, cats over non-cats, and big cats over little cats. The cat has won several years now in the family bracket. I love it. Maybe we should apply the cat rules to a bracket and enter that into a pool just to see if, you know, maybe it wins. David Payne Purdom tweets the following numbers. NCAA tournament lines have never been this large. All 4-5 seeds are at least 8-point favorites over 12 seeds for the first time since the field expanded to 64. The average spread in the 4-13 games is 14.3. That's the largest ever. And the average spread in the 3-14 games is 19.5. Largest ever. All 4-2 seeds are at least 20-point favorites over 15 seeds for the first time since 1986. I guess the question then becomes, have the lines finally caught up to the new reality in college basketball, or is there more room to roam? Maybe playing the favorites in those matchups is the way to go this year, just to test, just to see. It's possible, as much as the lines have moved over the last couple of years to try to catch up to reality, they may not be there yet. And so we shall see. I know this, one of the Wisconsin boys on the text thread didn't like the fact that the Badgers were a 5 and they're taking on a High Point, a 12. And they were like, oh boy, 5-12 upset, look out. And I said, I don't think that's been a thing for a while. Also, High Point plays zero defense. Well, I looked it up and I had to correct myself and say, well, it kind of is still a thing, the 5-12. Last year, there was two of them. McNeese defeated Clemson. Colorado State beat Memphis. In 2024, there were two of them. Again, Grand Canyon defeated St. Mary's. James Madison defeated Wisconsin. We know that one. JMU was loaded, and those players quickly left. 2023, there was no 5-12 upset. In 2022, there was two of them again. New Mexico State defeating UConn and Richmond defeating Iowa. So in three of the last 4 years, two of the four 5-12 games have been straight up upsets. So just do with that what you will. Also, you might want to change your thoughts on Alabama if you've already filled out your bracket because, oh, a little news today, as there was an arrest that you may be interested in. Star guard Aiden Holloway was arrested today and charged with felony possession of marijuana. Now you might go, felony possession? I mean, marijuana, I mean, even if marijuana is not decriminalized or legal in Alabama, felony, apparently it was a lot of marijuana. Aiden Holloway and his availability is probably in doubt. He's been removed from campus right now as of latest reports and is not going to be eligible for Alabama. Nate Oates is a really good coach and seems like a nice guy. But let's look at the stuff that's going on under Nate Oates. The biggest one being Brandon Miller. One of his players delivered a murder weapon to Darius Miles in 2023, who then killed somebody and was found guilty of capital murder. Commit Jaquan Walton was arrested on gun and drug charges in 2023. Nate Oates shoved a Missouri player during a game in 2024. He signed and played Charles Bediako this year, despite being ineligible after signing a professional two-way contract in the NBA. And now this with Aiden Holloway. I mean, I'm not saying it's a full rogue program, but Nate Oates, tighten up. That's all I got to say there. To the NBA, there is apparently a move to expand the league. Board of Governors is going to hold a meeting March 24th to 25th to explore adding two new cities, Vegas and Seattle. targeted franchise dates to begin are 2028/2029. There is momentum, according to Shams Charania, for stakeholders to approve these moves. Now, let's start with Seattle on this. Seattle is a city that was deeply wounded by losing the Sonics. In both the tradition and the success of that franchise and the players that were adored up there and just how the city vibrated with the Sonics. And so, you know, that carpetbagger Howard Schultz stealing the franchise away and moving him to Oklahoma City has been persona non grata for a long time. So getting a team back in Seattle is important. However, this would make it even better. According to sources, if a team is returned to Seattle, the Thunder would cede all Seattle history back to the Supersonics, just as the NBA's Charlotte Hornets reclaim the Charlotte-era history of the New Orleans Pelicans. The deal stipulated that the name Supersonics and all associated logos, colors, and trademark could be transferred to the owner of the new NBA team. The agreement laid out the terms shared ownership of Sonics history, including the team's 1979 championship trophy and retired jerseys. This is crucial, I think, for Seattle. It has to be this way. Not that Oklahoma City is really used. I can't recall any of the Seattle marks or logos or unis or throwbacks. But you do have to give it all up. I think that's a no-brainer. What happened in Tennessee a couple days ago with the Titans unveiling of their rebrand, going to a lighter blue, powder blue color, which mirrors the Love Ya Blue of Houston back in the day, the Oilers, and to roll out a new Titan logo, which doesn't look like the flaming thumbtack, as some people call it, or the shield with flames on it. I had no problem with Tennessee's logo and color. I just didn't like their number font. A number of people said this is pretty pathetic because it's like your current wife who can't get over her ex, that Amy Strunk Adams is just trying too hard to reach back in time and grab a color scheme that belonged to a whole different city and a whole different fan base. I kind of agree with that, to be honest, but you know women. File this under ESPN, gonna ESPN. Somebody took a picture of their screen at their Life Fitness, which had ESPN on, and it does have the college basketball games on the left-hand column with a ticker below, but the main programming was Stephen A. Smith, and the headline was Lakers. Do you believe the Lakers are contenders in the West? Joey Kanish on Twitter said, the morning after the bracket release and the topic that's obviously on everyone's mind, can the Lakers and LeBron win a title for the 634th day in a row on Get Up? Incredible. Yeah, well, they do it because their focus testing shows in a quarter hour average, they get a little bump from talking Lakers. Just like they used to get a little bump talking LeBron when he wasn't on the Lakers. Just like if they can work Tiger into the mix, they'll talk Tiger. It's the dumbing down of ESPN to the point where they're chasing every quarter hour, every little scrap of television ratings, and it's just getting worse and worse. It's all about the money, right? So the Green Bay Packers have a new team president, and that is Ed Policy, the son of Carmen Policy. And Ed Policy said just recently at a sports business roundtable that his number one goal right now is to find extra revenue sources for naming rights for parts of the greater Lambeau Field extravaganza, if you will. Not the field itself, not the stadium itself. Lambeau Field being one of, I think, two stadiums, them and Soldier Field, that don't have a corporate name attached to it. Arrowhead has Geha Field at Arrowhead Stadium. But there is no corporate name to Lambeau Field, and many Packer fans want it to stay that way forever. Of course, you're forfeiting a ton of money. And according to Policy at this roundtable, he fears that the potential trajectory of the NFL's increasing revenue through all kinds of streams and monetization and sponsorships is going to leave the Green Bay Packers behind in the smallest market in the league. There are also people who cover the Packers and are bloggers and podcasters and the like who pointed out that when Policy got the job as team president, he said his number one goal is to keep the Packers in Green Bay. And I'm here to say that is such bullshit. The Packers are not leaving Green Bay. Not even if they never get a title sponsor or a sort of a adjunct sponsor to the stadium and lose out on revenue. They're never leaving. You know why? Because as soon as you take the Packers out of Green Bay, the value of the franchise plummets by 50%. Because the franchise's charm and the franchise's inherent value is being the iconic motherland, to be the beating heart of old school NFL, of Title Town USA, Vince Lombardi. Where are you going to take them? San Antonio? The San Antonio Packers? Who's going to buy the, you know, of course you would have to have the complicated situation of, well, the community owns the team. Now, there was a time back in the late 80s, early 90s in which, yes, Green Bay losing the team was very much a possibility, but they were able to get that fixed through a referendum on taxing the four counties surrounding Green Bay or surrounding Lambeau Field and to put a 4-cent tax per dollar, sales tax, to raise money to significantly upgrade Lambeau Field, which they did. And it's a marvel. It's a beauty. I know it because I saw it for 6 years when I was working there at 97.3 The Game. Been to many, many games there. It's incredible. It's best in the league, if you ask me. Well, they don't need to do that again. Not for my lifetime, not for Ed Policy's lifetime. The team is not moving. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not a bad idea to kind of hint at it. Now, I will say that Policy didn't mention moving. He didn't say get a sponsor for Lambeau Field. But it's the other people that, you know, have been raising this, that cover the team, that cover the Packers. Many of my friends and guys that I know are saying this, and I'm just here to say that's a scare tactic. That's nonsense. The team is not leaving. Not now. Maybe once upon a time, but at this point, there's no need. Because the actual payroll for the players to at least break even is already covered by television. It's covered, and then some. So why would you move? One more when it comes to it's all about the money. Matt Brown, founder and publisher of Extra Points MB, newsletter of off-the-field stuff in college sports, said a Freedom of Information Act, ED, the operational budgets for more than 200 men's basketball programs. Here's who spent the most, the least, and who gets the most wins out of the least money, and he's got a list. I won't go through the whole list with you here, or go into the bang for buck, if you will. But here's the top spenders. Indiana, number one in men's college basketball, $32 million total expenditures. Tennessee, two. A good ways back at $23 million. Arizona, third at 22. Texas, fourth. By the way, all these amounts are kind of clicking in about a million less. So we're at 22 million now. I'm going to rattle off a bunch of schools, and I'll tell you where we end up. Texas, Connecticut, Arkansas, Michigan State, Kentucky, Auburn, Louisville, Kansas, Illinois, Ole Miss, UCLA, North Carolina, Virginia, Texas Tech. That takes us down to $16 million. That's still a lot of money right there, but the gap from number one, Indiana, to number 12-ish is almost double, from like $16 million to $32 million. All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll go into the Bears' den. My guy Butchie has some thoughts on the bracket. Armin Sarian, Mr. Marquette, joins the fray as well. Can't guarantee you'll win your pool, but I guarantee you'll be entertained. They're next. You are listening to the Zabecast.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. It is time to get our brackets straight. My boys, Brian Butch, Armin Sarian, are in the house right now. Fellas, I have taken to printing out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 brackets, Butchie. Six brackets. You know what these six brackets are? It's too many brackets? Okay. Armin, do you care to guess what six brackets I have printed out and have in my hands right now?
All right, I'm going to guess. NCAA men's, NCAA women's, NIT.
NIT. The CBI died.
They died. It doesn't exist.
It just died. It died on Twitter. They put something on Twitter that says, we will no longer, we will see you next year. It just died.
Like a restaurant that's out, that closes abruptly with a you know, printed sign with Times New Roman on the door. We're done. See you next year.
CBI has a Halloween store coming, vinyl banner hanging from the front door.
Yeah.
Gone. Just gone like a sports radio station in Milwaukee. Just gone. Overnight. Gone.
Gone. Sorry. And now everyone's doing a podcast. But gone.
Did that hit
and too close, Dome?
Armin's not.
And I'm trying to support everybody.
Armin is on AM 920. Yeah. In Milwaukee, please listen to him and Billy and Drew every morning from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on the big 920.
Fox Sports 920 is what we're calling it, and Fox Sports 1070 if you're in Madison. And, you know, you can stream us, obviously, in the same place everybody's streaming now, on the internet, YouTube, X. In addition, when you're done with us, watch all Butchie's Den's episodes in the Den and smash the subscribe button. And then go to the Zabecast. And while you're at it, Eller's got one. I love Monday. So everybody, just jump in on everybody's. Yeah. And KB, sure.
You're right. All day listening to podcasts the way it should be. So Butchie, Armin is a little cheesed. He was not invited into the Den last night for your live.
I saw that.
I'm sitting here. I'm outside the Den waiting. I'm waiting for my invite to come in. I'm watching the show. It's a great show. You had Billy on. You had Nick Olsen. You had Matt LePay. I mean, I don't expect you to bump me for LePay. I just thought I'd get the invite, but that's, I guess, listen, Marquette's not relevant. I get it. We're not relevant this
year.
No,
the invite's coming. It's coming still. Don't worry. It's coming.
I'm going to.
I need more time. I only allotted 10 minutes per guest yesterday. You need more than 10.
And you had him cooking like a car wash. It was great.
I did.
Yeah, moving through. I came on, Armin, and I told Butchie, I go, I got nothing to add on a selection show. I don't know these teams. I've been following the sport for 2 weeks now.
Tops. Did you know?
And what I told Zabe, I said, Zabe, one, I know how this works. I need your name. Come on. Your listeners then will come part of my listener. Like, that's a good thing. Like, I'm not ashamed of it. I know the way it works. I know how important Zabe is. I know all the followers Zabe has. Like, I'm not naive to that. I'm a smart businessman when it operates that. There's no pride factor there. Let's get this thing done. So come listen to Butchie's Den. Second thing is, I need to know if the gargantuan bracket was alive. That was the real reason to have him on.
Yeah, that's a point. Brad Turner, my guy who does the gargantuan bracket.
Not gargantuan, sorry. Okay. Bracket. That's how much I listened to you when we did a show together. Only half did.
It's a typical Butch botch. It's okay. It's a small one at that, by the way. He's apparently working on it, and you know he supposedly has an app in the works.
Oh, there we go.
He claims to be gargantuan bracket app using AI. So
can you monetize this?
He can monetize it if he wants to.
Does he need an investor?
Are you a money to invest, Butch? Yeah.
No, but I'll find it.
I got some ideas.
Oh, no, I'm not. You ain't never.
I don't need ideas. I need money. You know, cash.
Like
money.
Kramer.
That's what I need. Yeah. So anyway, the six brackets are printed out are this year's bracket, last year's bracket, 2024, 2023, 2022, and 2021.
Interesting.
Why do we print out past year's brackets? You know, past is prologue, as they say in history. Well, I wanted to get a picture, Butchie, of the shape of the sport post-pandemic.
Okay.
And as NIL started to ramp up. As we know, last year we had the four number ones, Duke, Arizona, Florida, Michigan, with Florida cutting down the nets. The year before that, 2020,
year's number one.
That's this year's number ones. First of all, I've started by filling out the chalk. I've filled out a chalk bracket so I can just see what chalk looks like, and then I'm going to start, Armin, erasing a certain amount of the chalk. That's how I'm going to go about this. So that's that. So last year, Auburn, Duke, Florida, Houston, your four number ones, they all went to the Final Four. The year before that, UConn, NC State, 11 seed. UConn was a one, NC State 11, Alabama 4, Purdue a one seed, with UConn winning it all. 2023 was the weird year. Remember that one? San Diego State, 12 seed, Miami, 5 seed, UConn, 4 seed, Florida Atlantic, 9 seed. That's not going to happen again, I trust. And then 2022, Duke, 2 seed, Nova, 2 seed, Carolina, 8 seed, Kansas, 1 seed, a little bit more favorite laden. And then the post-pandemic Final Four, Gonzaga, 1 seed, Baylor, 1 seed, UCLA, 11 seed, Houston, 2 seed, with Baylor winning it all. Butchie, you're first. Where's this tournament heading in the last 5 years?
Well, I think it's going really chalky. I think that's obvious. I don't think we're going to have a huge amount of upsets. I've said this before. I think there was a lot of upsets off the the week prior to this, during mid-major championship week, because you had a lot of mid-majors that should have won. Belmont's an example of that, that I think they could have got a win or maybe two in the NCAA tournament, and they get picked off in their own conference tournament and they don't play. So that's one that you look at and say, okay, you're kind of done there. So I think there's a couple of upsets there that changed things. And I just don't see it being a lot of upsets. When I looked at my bracket quickly, I've got a couple of upsets that are happening. VCU over Carolina, but that's because Wilson's hurt for Carolina. But it's pretty chalky here, boys. But that's not a bad thing. Like, it's the reality of kind of where the game is.
Yeah. Armin, where do you see the tournament
This is
going?
A really weird time for college basketball because, as you said, Butch, and it's true, since the portal, it's been more chalk even in the non-conference regular season. You've seen those numbers, Butchie. The number of upsets are way, way down in terms of even non-conference teams. And we saw last year that the bracket was chalky. However, I would say that within the games, there is a much chance for variance as ever before in the history of college basketball because teams are taking shots quicker and there's a lot of threes and a good shooting or bad shooting day. Three-point variance, as you know, Butch, can really affect fortunes in the tournament. There's also amongst the group on the top, I think, a lot more tighter economy of teams. You know, you do have the teams you figure are going to be better or worse, and that might be true. But so I think it's still, for me, a little early to see one or two years and say, all right, this is a trend. But it sure does seem like the haves and the have-nots. A good way to look at it, as we're going to talk about Wisconsin, I'm sure, a good way to look at that is what we used to think of as 12-5 upsets. You know, they still could happen, but the 12-5 doesn't seem like the 12-5s of your dad, you know, your uncle, where it used to be 12-5 was prime pickings for a pickoff. Even if you look at the lines are longer than they used to be. You know, Marquette played Ja Morant in a 12-5. and we're an underdog, I think, or a pick 'em. You just don't see that as much anymore. So while upsets still will happen at some point, I think there's going to be a lesser number of them than there used to be. But we'll see. This is college basketball. As Butchie always says, it always delivers. And when you think you know what's going to happen, as soon as you do, the unexpected always happens. So who knows? We might get a crazy year. We might not. A two seed has not won at all since 2016. How weird is that? So you just never know.
Okay. All right. Is there a reason to fade any of the 4-1s? Give me one reason to fade Duke, Butchie. I've heard some pundits say their backcourt is weaker than it needs to be.
Well, their backcourt is weaker because they have two injuries. Now, I think that's the biggest thing. They're starting point guards out, supposedly. We don't know how long could possibly be back, but, you know, Foster and what he's able to do. So there's an injury there that I look at with Duke. Michigan, I look at with Michigan in general. In general, LJ Cason, he's injured. He's out for the year with an ACL. He's the best backup point guard in America. So we
slow down. Slow down. Let's just give me one reason to fade the 4 number ones. Duke's fade point is
point guard injury.
Backcourt. Yep. Backcourt. And injury to the point guard. Michigan's fade point is Kaysan,
yep,
one of their most important guards. Correct. Right? Correct. Arizona's fade point is?
I don't have a lot here. Other than their youth. They've got a young point guard there, but Jaden Bradley's not young. So even though they rely on Koa Pete and you know, the young point guard that they've got, they still have experience there. I'll go youth, if question mark.
Okay. All right, youth, question mark. I know this. Braden Burries is the best name in the tournament. Burries. Like,
well, and he's the freshman point guard I'm talking about. Like, I mean, he's
so that's the guy you're talking about, Braden Burries. Okay. Florida's fade point.
Guard play. It's not going to – their front court's elite in what they can do. Their guard play, you know, Boogie Flynn isn't, you know, being able to make shots. That's been their biggest issue, is their guards have not been able to make shots. When their guards have been good, they've been elite. They've run through the SEC. They were not good against Vanderbilt, and they, you know, took them to the woodshed. So I think that's one of those things you look at.
You got any fade points on the final four of the one seeds, Armin?
I would say what's interesting about Arizona, they don't take a lot of threes. And, you know, usually these days in college basketball, you have to. Now, that might help them, but it might be tough if they get down against somebody. They're 357th in attempts and threes, I believe, which is rare. Duke hasn't been playing that well. You know, they won the ACC, but they had a lot of close games in that. You know, ACC is a different animal. I get it, but in the tournament. So what we've seen recently, right, and Michigan just lost, and his Yaxel hurt. He got hurt in the final against Purdue.
Yaxel.
A little bit of a mild sprain is what
Then maybe not. But in Florida, you don't know what Todd Golden's doing on his free time. So,
you think we're over that whole thing?
Yeah, Billy and I are disappointed there haven't been any more Instagram stories come out. We've been waiting for something else. Nothing's happened. So,
I think winning fixes a lot of things, boys. Winning fixes a lot
in
of things.
In that league and anywhere, but yeah.
All right, so Yaxel after the game said, I don't feel too good. It was getting to a point where it was kind of dangerous for me. I went to the ref. I told him guys were flopping, throwing their body on the ground. I told him someone's going to get hurt. It happened to be me.
He landed on an ankle. Who was flopping on Purdue? Braden Smith put a new jersey on. It was a different player. Oscar Clough looked pretty good. I don't know what he was complaining about. Purdue played well yesterday. So,
well, that's the sentiment of my Purdue buddy, Jimmy Bonahoom, who said Yaxel being a bitch after losing.
I didn't like that, but they're really good, though, Michigan.
Yeah. Okay. They looked unbelievable back, Butchie, in like December and then January. And it's been a fade since for Michigan.
Well, I still think Michigan's really good. What I do not like is the matchup of what they have. Now, this was going to play out just because of them not being the number one overall seed in because they played Duke head-to-head. Duke wins, so Duke was the number one overall seed. But they have to, in the Final Four, if they both get there, Michigan, Arizona play each other first versus the finals game. To me, that's a finals game. I've thought both those teams and Duke have been the three best teams. The other number one was in question. But Duke, Arizona, Michigan, to me, have been the three best teams. That being said, two of them, you know, when you look at how they finished that thing out, or at least one of them, Michigan, you know, falters in the Big Ten championship. The other two win their conference championship games as well. So we'll see how it plays out.
Let's look at the twos. UConn, Houston, Iowa State, and Purdue. To me, Houston is the toughest piece of beef jerky of a team, coach and ball handlers of the twos. UConn also, I think, has a similar tough constitution. Purdue is probably overseeded by a line as a two, I would guess. Iowa State, you're going to have to educate me on, Butchie. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, Iowa State, they guard. They offensively, they've gone through stretches where they haven't been able to score the basketball at a high level. But they're going to play hard. They're going to play physical. They can score it. They can defend. I don't love where they're at as far as the bracket and the matchup of what they have, because you look at what they are. They have Michigan up top. Do they have the interior presence to be able to guard Michigan's bigs? I don't see that being the case. I do think Houston, and when you look at where they stand, they got the last number one seed in Florida. What does Houston do really well? They guard. Interior, they're physical. What does Florida do? Their interior is extremely physical. Now you look at guard play, I think Houston's guard play is better than Florida's. Kingston Fleming and what he's able to do has been elite for him. That means you also have two other guys that have, you know, Final Four experience in Houston, their guard play. But the freshman, Kingston Fleming, is absolutely ridiculous. And that's where their offense is a little bit better. Defensively this year, their defense has taken a little bit of a step back, but I mean a very, very little. So it's an elite team. I look at this Houston team as a team that gets to the Final Four.
All right. Armin, your thoughts on the deuces, the twos?
I like Houston a lot. I think Kelvin Sampson knows his way around a tournament. This is the perfect tournament team. And one of these days they're going to break through and win it all. They were close. I think Houston's going to I think they're going to win the South. I actually think Houston and Illinois are the two best teams in the South right now. Florida's been good this year all year, but they seem to have some flaws to me. And if Illinois gets hot, if they figure it out, they have as much talent as anybody in that bracket. They just haven't been able to figure it out consistently recently, Bill, Butch, as you know. But we've seen them play really, really well with Wagler and with all those Yugoslavian shooters they've got. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy number. I like Houston a lot in the South, to be honest with you. Iowa State wasn't as good in February, right? So that's where they're maybe a little more vulnerable. Everyone says Purdue's an obvious, like, you know, won't go far. The one thing is, you know, when you win a Big Ten tournament, you play all those days, the trend's not been good. But this is a veteran Purdue team. They have good shooters. They're getting better inside. And Matt Painter's a good coach. I think they have a chance to at least make the second weekend for sure and maybe go farther.
At least make the second weekend. They play Friday at 7:35. They got more than enough rest time, and they got a super easy path.
I agree.
To the
it's
Sweet
not
16.
That hard. So I agree. I wouldn't look for Purdue to lose early, other than for some reason people have targeted Purdue and saying, "Oh, that's your upset. They're overseeded." I don't think so. But they're top eight in the KenPom, and then UConn. You know, the worst thing I can say about them is they lost to Marquette, unfortunately.
Well, doesn't that shake your confidence just a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, Hurley's good in tournaments, but it does a little bit. I mean, they got blown out by St. John's, blew them out. St. John's blew them out of the water in the Garden. So I get it. It's home game for St. John's. But, yeah, of course it does. No team is flawless, and that's where their flaw is.
All right, I want one or two things from you, one or two teams from you guys, max, no more than two, but one or two teams that you are wide awake on. So, in other words, when people say, don't sleep on so-and-so, I want you to give me, I am wide awake on blank. Below a two seed. Below a two.
Below a two seed, yeah. No, I'm wide awake on Michigan State. I just think the path is there. I think that when you look at what that bracket is in the East, the physicality of Michigan State, they can match UConn's physicality. So, I look for them to get to the Elite Eight. The other one that I look at, just in general, as a team, big picture-wise, what team was it? I'm pulling it up here. Is Nebraska. I think they, when you look at what they have, I think Manise beats Vanderbilt, and I think the path is really simple. Florida has the best path to an Elite Eight, though. I mean, it's a possible Iowa in the second round, possible Nebraska in the third round. I mean, you're setting yourself up really well.
Nebraska has never won a
game. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The time when that girl's hot for the first time and gets that car she doesn't know how to handle it. So I just don't believe in Nebraska. I'm sorry. I think when it's time to bright lights, can they actually get it done? I mentioned Illinois. That's a team I've always been zeroing it on because I think they have the talent if they put it together. Virginia, man, don't sleep on Virginia. They've been playing really, really well. And they're a little different than the Virginia you might recognize.
They also have an African shot blocker who averages three blocks a game.
They're then that in defense plays, as you know, Another
offensive rebound at an elite level as well.
Another year where we know nothing about Gonzaga. That's just the tradition. 30 wins and we know nothing about them. They could be good. But St. John's is – Pitino's going to have them pissed and ready. That's my theory on St. John's. I don't know how far they're going to go because I do think Kansas is tough, obviously. But we'll see.
All right. I'm going to run through real quick here a bunch of factors for tournament teams, and then you can rate them in terms of crucial, which is the highest – important, second highest, not important, and then irrelevant. Okay?
Okay.
Crucial, important, not important, irrelevant. Ready? Here we go. Good point guard.
Crucial.
Arden? I will say important, but not crucial, because anyone can bring the ball up these days and run stuff. So,
great coach.
Crucial.
I would say important. Players are always more important than the coach.
Okay.
Well, I thought we had to. Go ahead.
What? What do you mean?
I thought I had to pick. I only had one option for each.
Yes.
So I can use crucial twice. All right. Got it.
Yeah, of course. You can use crucial for all these
I misunderstood.
Things.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't have to explain the game to you. All right. Program experience / program expectations, meaning. The pedigree programs not only have been in this thing a lot, but their sights are up here in terms of their outcomes, not just we'll be happy to win a game. Is that crucial, not important, not important, or irrelevant?
Not important.
I'll agree. Not important because if anything, it puts more pressure on you. I'd say not important.
Okay. Is seeding or your bracket location in terms of geography, how far you fly, how close are your fans? Is that crucial, important, not important, or irrelevant?
It's important. It is important. Now, Wisconsin, when you look at these Wisconsin teams, when they made the Final Four, they've been in the West the entire time, which is interesting, but I still think it's important.
Well, not the year. Were they here? They played Milwaukee, though, one year.
Then they had to go out west for the Sweet 16.
But my point is, it's important because Badgers aren't beating Oregon that day that they were in the Bradley Center. I'm sorry. They were down 15. Yeah. So I'd say it's important. Seeding is irrelevant, in my opinion.
Seeding is irrelevant.
Because when you get between the lines, it doesn't matter what the number was on the side. It's basketball. That's my
opinion. But seeding allows your match. Yeah, seeding allows who you're
going to get. The matchups. But
is there any concern, Butchie, that the Badgers have to go all the way to Portland, where getting your fans there is going to be a chore, especially with the snowstorm that you guys are digging out from right now. By the way, how many inches for you in Appleton today?
Oh, we have 27 right now.
Oh,
that is nasty work, brother.
27.
In Milwaukee, it wasn't that bad because we had rain when you had snow yesterday, and it's bad here, but 27 is crazy, crazy work. That's not normal at all. That's never normal for this area, really.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But even with perfect travel, Butchie, you're talking about dragging the fan base out to Portland, which you can't get to Portland from here. It's impossible.
Correct.
Anywhere here. It's hard to get to. And on top of that, it's a early game. So the gym's going to be cold and dead. It's the first game out of the chute.
It's terrible. The early game, the tip is 10:50 a.m. local time.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That stinks.
I don't like it either.
But High Point, they're not good. They're just run and gun.
They're just run and gun, score, exactly. High Point has to do the same thing, right? Like, it's not like they don't have a long travel.
Their flight's 5.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, ours is going to be 4 tomorrow.
I know. I'm just saying. You're right.
I got to download some good movies. Zabe, you got any advice on movies?
Yeah, watch some. Okay. Next up. Three-point shooting. Crucial, important, not important, irrelevant.
I think it's crucial. Because sometimes it's as simple as a make or miss.
Crucial. Okay.
Big man. Yeah, Armin,
threes
sorry,
are crucial. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
Threes in volume or threes in percentage?
You have to take a lot and make a lot. This is a math game now. Maybe your dad and your uncle don't like it, but that's the reality of it.
Well, that's what scares me about Arizona, that you said they're so far down in terms.
That being said, they're immune then to a bad three-point shooting day. So it depends how you look at it, but it's harder to come back. They have to have the lead every game.
They have variance immunity, which is not a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, big man, crucial, important, not important, irrelevant. Big man.
crucial in what they're doing. It's crucial, big man. You look at all the number one seeds; they all have elite bigs, especially this year. I think it's a shoot threes, you know, year, but it's also offensive rebound year. Shoot threes, get your own rebound. Huge, crucial.
I'll say important, not crucial, but for Butchie's point, the offensive glass. If you can dominate the glass like that, you help yourself. I just can't shake my head of the little guys from Fair Dickinson beating Zach Edey on those screens.
Fair Dickinson. I love how you butchered the name on purpose, because I know you know it is Fairly Dickinson. All right, last one. Crucial, important, not important, irrelevant, NBA lottery pick. Having an NBA lottery pick on your team.
Important. You got to have a guy that's going to take over. That's what scares me about Wisconsin. That's what scares me about Wisconsin's matchup with Arkansas. Acuff is a bad dude. Now, the Badgers have two bad dudes though as well. So
I think to go all the way, it's important. Maybe not to win two games, but to go all the way.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that you're worrying about a game that hasn't happened yet, that you've got to win one first, but that's fine. And Arkansas has to win their game too, by the way. But
you just told me High Point was garbage.
All right. I got a couple character players in the field. If there's any I'm missing, let me know. High Point has Chase Johnston, who wears number 99, shoots nothing but threes. He's like Jack Gulkey all over again. He's only had 4 twos on the season and like 100 made threes. You got a plan for old 99?
Yeah, face guard. No face shot. Guard. Just take them all.
That's right. Yeah. It was the same as different than Novak. He never shot twos, really, until senior year. I mean, so just face guard him, right, Butch? It's like the Yale Penn. Why are they letting TJ Power catch the ball in Yale Penn yesterday? What's going on there? And I wouldn't be worried about Arkansas. They're playing Hawaii, and you know the Big West, Zabe. And they barely beat UC Irvine in the Big West. So
Big West is trash. Let's see. Purdue has Oscar Clough, which is not only a great name, but he's from Australia. He's a former factory worker, and he's 24 years old.
Monster, too.
Really, really good. He's got to play well for them to win, so he's important.
He's been playing
St. Louis. Yeah, St. Louis has Robbie Avila, also known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah. Not Kareem, but Kareem, because he's a white kid. He's got skills, and he's got the glasses like Kareem.
Absolutely. He was really big last year. This year had some injury stuff like that. But still, we'll see if the story reinvents
himself. He burst on the scene with Indiana State. And yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, aka Milk Chamberlain.
Yes, Milk Chamberlain is another one. And then he's not a player, but he's back, Armin. Amir Ora Khan.
Yeah, the McNeese. The manager. Fox kid. Listen, I was.
Is back again for McNeese State. He has rung up more undeserving NIL deals for a stupid boombox.
You know what's funny is I always lament that Butch, when he was a high school star, Butch was the star of stars, okay? It was like a road show. I'm telling you, when Butch was playing high school. If NIL existed during Butch's time, it would be a totally different situation. Somebody else.
Hey, one thing, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
But,
Armin, you would be the boombox
Right, my
guy.
Point is, you when would, I was in high school, been. I was the manager, and I could have been a star because this kid's a star. Amir's a star. I would have been that guy. And it's not even for a big school. It's McNeese. So the fact that this team keeps winning and putting him in the tournament is the best thing that ever happened to his brand. It's amazing what kind of good fortune this kid has.
After he transferred and then transferred back from NC State.
I like who you think you are, man. Like, it's crazy. But good for him, I guess.
All right, last two things to add before we get out of here. Michigan State was the last Big Ten team to win the title in 2000. They're running old pictures of young Tom Izzo holding up the trophy, and my God, he looks so young back then, 26 years ago. Can it happen this time around? Can a Big Ten team win it all, Brian?
Yeah, they can. I don't have it. I have Arizona, but I think Michigan is by far the team there. And, exactly.
Michigan's good enough.
Okay, and Arizona's the last team west of the Mississippi to win it all, 97. Can that happen again?
Yes, it can happen, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Are we still doing the perfect bracket nonsense, these contests?
No, those are
where, like, hey, you have a 1 in 18 quadrillion chance of picking the perfect bracket. I liken it to a contest where they say, hey, if you take this quarter, you can throw it on the moon. You win a free prize.
It's a waste. That's actually a waste of time.
This is all I'll say. Instead of that, give me the Mountain Dew bottle cap back. That's what I want.
That's what I'm talking about.
What's that? What am I missing?
Oh, as kids, as me and Armin, our kids, you would go to the vending machine, you'd buy a Mountain Dew or a Coke, and you would have the name of a team on the cap. And if you got that and they won, you could go get prizes or something like that. You'd mail your cap.
I didn't drink a lot of Mountain Dew because it wasn't my soda of choice.
But you did during March.
During March I did, and I had about 15 caps ready, and they were all the terrible teams. It's like the Monopoly game, Zabe, at McDonald's.
Right.
Where there was always one of each that was hard to get, you know. And
oh, my God. All right, Butchie's Den on YouTube, social media, TikTok, Twitter, you name it. And, of course, call a great game with the great Matt LaPay on Thursday.
Thursday at 12:50, 10:50, and I don't know where it's aired in Milwaukee. I do know it's on 1070 in Madison.
Good luck getting down to Madison, two-hour drive. As soon as tomorrow afternoon.
It's tomorrow. It could be as soon as tomorrow morning. We're leaving tomorrow for sure, and there's rumor we might be staying west for a long time if they keep winning. So.
Well, I think they're gonna make the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016. Is that the right?
Yeah.
I think they're gonna do it. I think it's been a drought too long, and I know what that's like. So.
Armin Sarian of the Huddle, Fox Sports 920, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Going to be at Zabe Vegas with us in 1 week and 2 days.
I can't wait.
No. All right, boys. Thanks for your time today. We'll see you soon.
See you, boys.
Let's end on some feedback. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. I got a couple emails on this topic. This one from Larry Large. Hi, Zabe. What was going on with the audio on Monday's pod? Just trying to see if it was on my end or whether you re-listened to it and were aware of it. Usually you always know when the audio quality is crappy and you mention it and apologize, but you never mention anything. It was cutting out left and right anytime you tried to play third-party audio clips. It was weird. P.S. Glad your dental procedure went well. Larry in Lancaster, PA. Knock on wood. It could go bad at any time. I'm recovering. Post 72 hours, the swelling is now finally going down, feeling pretty good. I noticed one little glitch on one of the clips, but I didn't listen to all of the clips, and so I didn't know if they were all doing that. But yes, that was a function of the Riverside.fm software, which did not perform as it is promised to perform. It's a love-hate thing with this platform, Riverside. The features they've built into it are incredible. But it's very bandwidth intensive, so if there's any kind of lag in your internet, and I don't have great internet out here in the country, I got Starlink, it's good when it's in, but it goes out from time to time. It's a very bandwidth intensive platform, and it uses a lot of computing once your stuff is uploaded. That's how it processes the audio on guests. Like, I could have a guest just talking into his phone or his laptop with a pretty crummy sound to it, and it's able to really lift it and shape it and process it so it sounds pretty darn good. That's why I use it. But sometimes when it's trying to throw sound bites and I'm playing through my computer up into the cloud with guests on the other side, it gets garbled. Another email, this one from Peter Tietjen. He says, audio quality today. And I'm like, oh boy, another one here. Hi, Steve. I'm probably not the first to make note of this, but the audio quality today, especially on the various clips you played, was not up to your usual standards. In almost all the clips, the audio was garbled at times. I know you hate bad audio, as do we all, so I wanted to point it out. Also, I get annoyed listening to podcasts where the hosts are looking at videos that we can't see. I usually listen to you in bed before I get up, so playing videos that you or your Zoom partner can see that we can't is a bit off-putting. You've said you don't want to do video podcasts, but then you play video clips. Anyway, on a positive note, I listen to you every day on my 35-day cruise to Antarctica, so thanks for keeping me in touch with what's going on in your sphere of influence during my trip. Well, you are welcome, Peter, and I'm glad you went on that wonderful trip. Even though we were 2 hours ahead of East Coast time, getting the 1%er podcast published before midnight helped me listen to it at 6 a.m. on the ship, which was 4 a.m. D.C. time. Thanks for all the entertainment. Keep up the great work. All the best. Peter Tietjen, Sunset Beach, North Kakalaki. You know, you're right that I need to be very vigilant to not watch clips and talk about the stuff we're watching with my podcast guests. I have fallen into that trap because I now have the ability to do that, even though sometimes those clips get garbled. In terms of playing a soundbite, though, from somebody that we want to react to, I'm going to keep it under 30 seconds. So if it's a commissioner or a coach at a podium who makes a comment, or if it's a clip from a TV show like Bruce Pearl, if I keep it to 30 seconds and you're not really commenting anything visual because it's not a highlight, it's not something, whatever, you just say, okay, what do you think of what he said? I think that's fine. You can tell me if you think a 30-second clip is okay. On the weather front, man, did the forecasters miss badly on Monday. They were hyping up this row of storms saying, oh, we got a two-parter. First, a band of intense thunderstorms come through in the morning, and then in the afternoon, straight line, winds of up to 70 miles an hour. Mayhem. Well, none of that happened. The closed part of the government, in addition to the TSA agents who are not getting paid, that's becoming a real pain in the ass for every traveler out there. Closed some schools. They sent some schools home early, all based on the forecast, which turned out to be a complete whiff. But it doesn't mean there wasn't some mayhem. And again, this is why Andy doesn't want to listen to me about the worst weather and just the mayhem that weather in the DMV can often unleash on your daily patterns, commuting, and everything else. The American Legion Bridge, which is one of the main arteries in the DMV, it's the main bridge to get you from Virginia over to Maryland, as long as you're not all the way downtown in the district. There's no other bridge across the Potomac until way out at Point of Rocks, which is 40 miles west. And Maryland has resisted building a second bridge over the Potomac somewhere along the way for years and years, and now it's too late because there's development and everything else. But I digress. So the main bridge, it's old, the American Legion Bridge. It probably needs to be fully replaced. But how are you going to do it? Because it's such a major artery. You can't, basically. You got to just keep trying to patch it up. Apparently, the way that it sits and with some of the drains that are supposed to be built in, when there's a heavy rainfall, you'll get a major puddle that accumulates in the bridge. And today, a major puddle of standing water, like 2 or 3 feet deep, encompassing 4 of the 5 lanes, closed traffic, all lanes of the outer loop of I-495. I mean, welcome to hell, anyone who still commutes and has to commute and get around the DMV. That is a nightmare. Last thing for today, shout out to Paul Ehrlich, who died at 93 years old. He is the man who wrote a book in 1968 titled The Population Bomb. His forecast was for global famines because of rampant, uncontrollable overpopulation of Mother Earth. It made him not just a cult figure, but a very wealthy leader of the environmental movement. But according to this bio, this headline, which was in, I'm not sure if it was in the New York Times or the Washington Post, but get a load of this. Paul Ehrlich, who alarmed the world with the population bomb, dies at 93. His best-selling book, which forecast global famines, made him a leader of the environmental movement, but he faced criticism when his predictions proved premature. Oh, premature. I think you misspelled wrong, because we are not, in fact, facing a population bomb, and there is no risk whatsoever of famine. Hell, look at America. We're the fattest country in the world. No, quite the opposite, as a matter of fact. Much of Western Europe, and especially South Korea, are either teetering at the edge of or below replication rate when it comes to fertility and young people making babies. Here's how bad it is in South Korea. Their total fertility rate is currently at 0.8. That is below the 2.1 level required to maintain a stable population. South Korea is truly actually facing population collapse over the next 20 to 40 years as the older generation dies off. They're even paying South Korean young people like bonuses, incentives. Make babies, please, somebody, anyone. They're the worst. Western Europe is similar. You can go check country by country. The U.S. is trending in that direction as well. It's something that guys like Elon Musk has been banging on for a while now, saying, hey, man, we're going to have a population collapse. We got to start having some kids. Of course, he's had a lot of kids from a lot of different women, but that's a whole different story. I can't say that I get too worked up over it. My first thought is, and I guess it's selfish, it's like, well, more room for the rest of us, I suppose. Plus, let's be honest. I'm 58 almost. Like, what of all the things I got to worry about in life at this age, including maintaining the ability to have a good, solid constitutional in the morning by myself with a phone in my hand in a closed bathroom, you think I got time to worry about population collapse? But I thought it was funny that the way the headline says, he faced criticism when his predictions proved premature. In other words, there's still a chance of this. It could happen. He was just ahead of his time. Instead of saying it like it is, which is Paul Ehrlich, the man who alarmed the world with the population bomb, died. He turned out to be dead fucking wrong. Your tweet of the day out the door, this one from Jennifer Matthews. Quote, when a girl says 5 minutes, think about it like there's 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter of a football game and both teams still have all their timeouts. You'll thank me later. That is perfect. And I would dare say, I bet that times out just about right when it comes to women and their sense of just 5 minutes. Just five, I got to get ready. 5 minutes. Thanks to Butchie and Armin for coming on today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with me during the occasional audio glitches that don't meet my already lofty standards. Please do me a favor, if you can, rate and review this podcast. There's so many of them out there, and when I get the good reviews, the 5 stars, it helps boost the algorithm, and it sends it out to more people who go, hey, this guy's pretty good. You should listen to him. And I appreciate all who do. If you want to subscribe and get this podcast ad-free, you can do that, zabe.com/premium. You'll just get pure podcast Monday through Thursday, and then you unlock Fridays with Scott and Solly, my OG running mates from the Fox Sports Radio days, still cutting it up and as good as ever. Thanks for listening. Have a great St. Patrick's Day. Safe one at that as well. And we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.